for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, what the hell is going on in this town? It is the 1981 Gary Sherman classic, Dead and Buried. And joining us from her icy corner of the world is Miss Hillary.
Hey, how's my ghouls, gays, and theys? I'm congested today, so we sound like this.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll take it.
Yeah. Just so in case anybody's like, that doesn't sound like her. Fair. But it's totally. Really me. That's totally why we brought the intro back.
Absolutely. I love it. Very, very cool. Okay. So this was a first time watch for both of us. Neither of us had been to Potter's Bluff before.
No, we have not, which is a bummer.
Yeah, I kind of want to go here. By the way, even though this film takes place in like what is referred to as like a small New England town with lots of fog, it's actually Mendocino, California. So any of us can go.
Oh, well, yeah. I didn't enjoy California. I would rather go to New England, actually.
Okay. Well, there we can make our own Potter's Bluff.
It does seem like a lot of work, though.
I mean, we do have to find a gifted mortician, as a well as
a very gifted mortician.
Somebody who is familiar with the black arts.
Somebody familiar with the black arts. We need Jimmy the stoner. Yeah, there's a whole lot of people to find and bring to Potter's Bluff with us.
I was gonna say it is definitely a lot of work. Okay. This is a third time director for the show. Gary Sherman also did Poltergeist 3, as well as one of our favorite movies that is sort of kind of underrated for the 80s, 90s, which is Lisa. And I love me some Gary Sherman, man. This is third time. So triple M, three times. Congratulations, Gary
welcome
Sherman.
To
you're
the
in the
show.
Hall,
yeah.
You're in the you, Hall of Fame.
You're in the Manic Movie Monday Hall of Fame. I
love
do
it.
Have a question about the movie, because maybe I missed something.
Okay.
And then it could change my opinion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do you know how long the sheriff and the wife were married?
Oh yeah, okay. So yes, there's definitely some very interesting logistics here. There was, you know, a lot of questions, and I thought about that while I was watching it. I was like, well, Hillary really likes shit that makes sense.
Yep.
And so
yep.
If things don't make sense, like she's gonna bring it up, right? We're gonna hot take express here.
Yep.
So we're gonna talk about that.
Okay. All right.
So
then
okay.
You know, so I will follow your lead, because that has been, and I was just like, maybe I missed it. Maybe it was addressed somewhere. So before I have my views, that's what that's what's in my maw-caw.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of questions in the maw-caw. So we open on a beach with a photographer who is taking pics of what can only be called as nautical bric-a-brac. Just
sure, yeah, it's
right?
The stuff that you would find in like the TJ Maxx. I want a beach themed dining room.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
A fishnet. Okay.
Yeah, a fishnet, a bottle, some old netting that washed ashore with a barnacle on it. Yeah, yeah.
And then
it is
this stunning blonde appears from nowhere. And if that
she
blonde
scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a woo, you know,
yeah.
Like, okay, hi. And this is Lisa, also known as Lisa Blount, who was in Officer and a Gentleman and Prince of Darkness.
I did like that her name was Lisa, and that, you know, the guy directed Lisa.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, call him Guy. Please call him Guy.
Right.
And then
hi, Guy. Yeah,
hi, Guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really hoping for that to happen, but it didn't, which was a bummer for me.
And then some dirty saxophone music starts playing.
Which you need some Kenny G if, you know, you're just going to start a banter with photographer on the beach.
What I thought when I first started watching this, and this is just because I've watched way too many erotic thrillers, and Sling can attest to that, but is that they were a couple that were doing like a role play.
Role play.
That's what
Pretend that we just met on the beach. Well, yeah,
pretend
because
that.
women don't act like this. We don't go up to a guy and are just like, hey, are you rich and famous?
Right. She's
I'm
like,
successful.
you're a photographer. Can I call you Freddie? And he's like, sure. Can I call you Lisa? Lisa, you're a very pretty girl. And I thought to
I've
myself,
always
I was like,
wanted to meet Elisa.
right. I thought, okay, so this is a game that they play, right? No, it's not.
No,
Anyway,
this is how women act in 1981. We
in
just
81, apparently this was,
guys.
yeah, that's what we were. We were just down to fuck.
Yep,
Just
all the time. Back when things were simple.
things were just simple. We were down to fuck the nautical photographer on the beach. Okay, so yes, it looks like that's exactly what's going to happen. She flashes her titties, we're all set to go, and then a group of hooligans wielding
Hooligans.
crowbars just beat the shit out of him
Yeah.
and then burn him alive.
What a terrible way to go.
Oh my God.
Yeah, wrap him up in fishnet, tie him to a pole. They're all taking photos of him as they douse him in gasoline and set him ablaze.
It like hey, I give Sherman credit, man, because he has a lot of scenes in movies that just make you go, oh my God, what am I watching, right? But
Yeah.
couldn't look away,
Yeah, no,
couldn't
very
stop.
strong opening scene of just like, what the fuck?
And everyone who is burning him alive seems very gleeful, very it reminds me very much of Wicker Man, right?
Okay,
Just
yep.
very like,
Yay! Yeah. Very Manson-esque, culty. Let's take the, pictures. We're celebrating, we're cheering. Almost a Midsommar, if you will.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then the so then essentially this body is found in a car that looks like it has been that basically looks like this person was in a car accident and just caught ablaze, right? So our main our hero, Sheriff Dan,
Oh, his name was Dan? I just call him the sheriff. I don't think I ever got his name.
I was too concerned with Jack Albertson. I was like, he was my favorite character in this whole movie. I could have watched a good 90 minutes of Jack Albertson just doing mortician shit.
Yeah, he unnerved me right off jump.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
his entire presence made me uncomfortable, and his hands specifically made my innards, it gave me the willies. I don't have like a different word.
Now, interesting fact about those hands, because you talk about those hands. The hands that actually do the work on the faces, we'll get to this in a second, but the hands that actually do the work on the faces was special effects master Stan Winston, who did the special effects for Aliens and, oh my God, Pumpkinhead, like you
Oh,
name
wow.
it, really, like, yeah, super, 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 super famous. Okay, so did Dobbs look familiar to you in any, really? Even the voice, did the old man's voice seem familiar to you?
Nope.
So, Jack Albertson is mostly very well known as the as the disabled question mark grandfather in Willy Wonka. He's Grandpa Joe.
Oh, yeah, no, I would have never put that together.
Oh, really? With the
Okay.
voice was what got me, because so yes, it's important to point out that Jack Albertson was dying of cancer when this film was made. This is his very last movie that he ever did. So he's like coat rack skinny. Like
Yeah, very, yeah, no,
what?
which I thought added to his character, truth be told. But yeah, no, Grandpa Joe to me was one of the villains in Willy Wonka, and
See?
I skip right over him when I watch Willy Wonka.
A lot of people say that. So yes, but Jack Albertson, this was his last movie. He got to go to the premiere, of which he attended in a wheelchair with an oxygen tank, because he was that determined to get to that premiere. So he did get to see the premiere of the movie, but then he did pass away. But yes, he plays Dobbs, the overly enthusiastic mortician.
Which I like. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the fact, I love somebody that loves their work. And I don't care what the work is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if being an oil lube tech really, like, rocks your socks off.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fucking tell me about it. Yeah, I love people that just like love what they do, and I don't care mm-hmm. if you're a janitor, I don't care if you're a fucking brain surgeon, I don't care if you work in the PICU, you know, like mm-hmm. if you yep. are in love with what you do, I am fascinated with what you do.
So we get this scene where everyone's kind of hanging out at the local diner, which is and
the size of my bed.
And who do you see in that local diner just chatting away? Really? Nobody? You
I like who Little? I saw was
yeah,
who I saw was the waitress who showed up to the murdering.
Yes, the head torture bitch from the first scene is okay. Definitely the waitress.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
that's
also
who I clued in on.
But also little baby Robert Englund.
Oh no, not at all. Never saw him.
All right. So yeah. Little baby Robert Englund plays one of the townspeople. And it's important to point out that this town isn't okay. So here's what I like about this is that even though everyone's acting kind of odd, it's so subtle. It's not like Stepford Wives.
Yeah.
It's not
Village of the Damned.
It's not 100% Rosemary's Baby. But everybody's very friendly. Everyone is very friendly in this town. And yes, the fact that you brought up how long has the sheriff been married to his wife is very important, because then you're kind of thinking, well, is he really like, does he really not know that shit's like awry?
Yeah.
And there was a part of me that thought, okay, this is a Jaws situation, right? Where he like, oh, just arrived in town from the upstate New York, and I'm here to be the sheriff, and I don't know of this wild town you speak of, right? But no, that's not a thing either. So, yeah. So that's a little off. And there were two screenwriters, so that might have something to do with it. So we meet our friendly neighborhood wino. Poor bastard. And then okay, let's talk about this murder for a second, because this movie this is so wild. Okay, so he gets murdered by the same, you know, group of hooligans, right? But this time they got cleek lights and a camera, and like they're basically making their own sort of Wicker Man snuff films. Yes,
yes.
Absolutely. One of the things I loved about this, because I'm fascinated by that weird
snuff films.
Yeah, I am. I don't want to see them. And I obviously, you and I grew up in a time where everybody was trading Faces of Death tapes, you know, where
yeah.
we were
oh,
all
yeah.
like, oh, this is real. The bird of bird. It's like, it's not, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. But except for the animals. But at the time, we kind of thought like, this is people are, you know, oh my God, this is like, so, you know.
Yeah, we had to wait for like the internet to start, and then like rotten.com and everything. Where we all got desensitized and killed our brains.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're making. Yes. Right. So they're making a old time folky snuff film. And so the sheriff goes to the local mortician, and this is when we meet Dobbs, Jack Albertson, and he owns every scene that he is in. Like, he really owns it. He's an amazing actor. Before he begins or commences with his morticianing, he puts on like Glenn Miller albums, you know, like
Glenn Miller albums, very old timey music. And yet, no, he does nail every scene that without being hokey.
No.
Yeah. Like
nothing campy about Jack Albertson's performance at all.
Not
it's
at
very,
all.
No, it's very, Subtle and, like you said before, unnerving. I like that.
Yes, yeah, he is unnerving and like charismatic is not the right word, but like I cannot draw my, he commands the scene. I am
Kind of
absolutely.
charming. I'll be honest with you. Jack Albertson probably could get me to work from him. I'm just saying. You know
Oh,
what I mean?
yeah, no, I would have worked at the mortician
Right.
office. You know, he was open to hiring a felon.
Absolutely. And he said, great line in the movie, right? Where he
Yeah.
says, never let it set, never let it be said. I denied employment to ex-cons. Good
Yeah,
for
well, I love that.
him.
I was just like, oh my God, I love this mortician. I want to work here.
Yeah, he's awesome. So people making references to the sheriff's wife. He's in here, he's investigating this, you know, murder question mark, or accident rather, and you know, bodies are being found. He's confused about this, but everyone keeps mentioning his wife, Janet. He keeps saying, oh, well, ask your wife. Your wife stopped by. Your wife, your wife, your wife. So,
Your wife saw the dead guy in the
yep,
car at the
yep,
hotel.
yep, absolutely, absolutely. So, Sheriff Dan goes home to his beautiful wife. And we meet the lovely Miss Melody Anderson. You will not recognize
I haven't
You will not
recognized anybody
recognize
yet.
it,
Yeah.
but
The
she was
whole movie, as we watched this, I was just like, man, Aaron's not going to be able to get me in this movie. Nobody exists in this movie. None of these people are people. You've
so
been swinging for the fences. Do you recognize
yeah.
this guy? Nope.
So she's most famous for being Dale in the movie Flash Gordon. That's Flash Gordon, everybody, not Flesh Gordon, two different movies. So yeah, she's most famous for being her, but she, according to the internet, and mind you, fact checker Frankie, come at me. I love it when you do. She got into drugs really heavily. Following Flash
Preach,
Gordon,
sister.
you know, she did. She got into drugs really heavily and then changed her life completely, became a licensed certified EMDR clinician, a therapist, a licensed social worker, and now is an addiction counselor who also specializes in 12 using, this is so cool, using the 12 steps to do marital counseling. Pretty fucking cool, man.
Where does she do that? Do we know where
Cal
she works? Oh,
I
yeah,
think
yeah,
she's a, I
California.
think she's probably California. Yeah, New York and California, both. But her website, melodyanderson.com, sure. She actually offers counseling. She's pretty cool, man. I was like, that's pretty awesome. Like when I heard about that, I was like, that's pretty sweet, man. So
Yeah, I
she,
want to book an appointment with her.
right? Well, you know, because she has this, you know, in the film, as well as in as well as in Flash Gordon, she is this absolutely stunningly beautiful woman, number
Oh,
one, but
absolutely.
she has this very gentle nature to her, and she just makes you want to tell all your secrets, man.
Yeah, no, I could absolutely do
Yeah.
therapy with Janet from Buried Alive, no problem.
But I get why her husband is so gaga over her. You know what I mean? Like, because
Yeah.
she's a teacher.
Yeah, she's a school teacher to young
She's,
children,
yes. Yeah.
very
She's
excited. She can
very
carry
anxious. Yeah.
a
She's
bunch of
very,
packages.
yeah, she's very, she is. She's very excited. She, you know, she's like, hey, you know, I you have two choices for dinner, but I'm gonna warn you, they both come out of a bag. You know, so
Yeah.
she's so like important to point out, right? She's not acting like a Stepford wife.
No, not at all.
She's just slightly perky, in when Sheriff Dan brings up the murders, you know, she's just like, yep, those pesky murders, you know.
Yeah, you'll
She
figure it out, honey. I thought it
uh-huh,
was a car
yeah.
accident. Yeah, just like I have my own life and my own things going on. You know, I've got these kids to teach, I've got lessons planned. Mr. Haskell has another meeting. I am carrying eight boxes all wrapped in brown paper stacked on top of one another like it's nothing up a flight of stairs. I got stuff going on. You'll solve it, babe. I got nothing but faith in you. Get the murders.
Absolutely. And then we meet a family wanders into the diner. very blonde. It's Jamie. Oh, for God's sakes, hold on. Jamie is the little boy.
Yeah, I didn't get, it was mom, dad, and Jamie.
Mom, dad, and Jamie. Yeah, exactly. So dad is Ronnie. Mom, we didn't get her name, but little boy Jamie, and they all wander into the diner asking, hey, do you know where gas is? That kind of thing. And then they say, well, Freddie will show you around. The guy from the, oh, well, you know what? It's okay. We got lost here. Let's go back. So the sheriff decides to visit our burn victim from the very first scene in the hospital. Him and the doctor are in there. He's like, I'm going to give him something to make him comfortable, but his face is all gone. He's completely disfigured. He doesn't really know where he is. He can't really answer questions, but it is what it is. They go outside to sit on benches
on casting couches in the world's emptiest hospital.
World's emptiest hospital. Yeah, absolutely. Very, very Halloween 2,
Very Halloween 2, very Exorcist 3.
Friday 5, yeah.
Yeah, very... do not hit those couches with a black light. They are fucking gross.
Nobody there, right? Okay, well, then we notice that Lisa, from the very first scene, our lovely blonde, has come in wearing a 1950s nursing outfit. And she tells, she sneaks in because they're heavy into conversation. They're not even like backs turned, the whole thing. She sneaks into the hospital room of this burn victim, Freddie, and flat out just jabs him in the eye with a fucking syringe. And that's all she wrote.
Yeah. Like, one, the fact that he lived through that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Whoa, right. But yeah, like, she doesn't even try to make it like I overdosed him with morphine in his IV.
Stabbed him in the eye.
And left the fucking needle right in his eye. Bink.
And then
ocular trauma always gets me, though. Always.
And then just walked off. And then and then obviously that set off the alarm. The
code. Yeah.
The code, right? Doctor and sheriff go running in there and they're like, well, I guess we're not interviewing this guy. Like, he's dead. So anyway.
So obviously they take the syringe and they dust it for prints. No.
That's not a thing.
No. Come on. No.
It really is one of the most inept police forces, really.
I mean, it is only like the sheriff. And while everybody else is saying like, yeah, he was in a car accident, he's the only one that's just like, I think this is suspicious, and I think this is a murder. Why does he think it's murder? He just does, because he has nothing else to do in this town.
No, he doesn't. He's not fucking his wife, I'll tell you that. He proposes this idea to Dobbs. He says it's possible that somebody could have burned this guy at a totally different location and then put him in the car and made it look like a car accident. And Dobbs is just like, I don't know, maybe,
yeah, maybe, but like, why would they do that?
Right. Why would they do something like that? So fast forward to the diner. This lovely family comes in looking for gas and they say, well, Freddie will show you around. Bam. Freddie, our burn victim, turns around. Good as new.
Good as new.
Good as new and very friendly.
Very friendly, no syringe in the eye, very excited to go pump gas.
Nope. And basically says, yeah, hey, let's go pump gas. Okay. Now you're going to have to explain this to me, because here's the thing about this movie. If you watch it, you can watch it on Tubi. It is available for free. It is a very darkly lit film, mm-hmm. and it's very foggy. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult to tell where a lot of people are sometimes, especially during the night shoots. And this was one of those scenes where I was like, okay, they hit a guy with their car, or somebody tried to jump on their car, and then they ended up at a house. Mm-hmm. Now, are they at like a rental home? Like, they're tourists, they're coming in for like, is that their rental home, or did they go into somebody else's random house?
So they are looking for their hotel, like the Seacrest Hotel or something.
Okay.
Then they stop in the diner. Freddie gets them gas. They tell them that they got to go up like Route 12 to get to where they're going. They hit somebody with their car, and then it just seems like they walk into a house just randomly, and then they're like, yeah, no, we could stay here though, like go turn on the lights. And I am one of those like fuck those kids, but also would ne without let's take the town out, let's take the murder out, let's at no point would I look at my children and go, this is where we're staying. It is covered in cobwebs. There is no lights. There's no water. There, like, why this happened? I was very like, and yeah, he's just like, yeah, I'm gonna go down to the basement, turn the lights on, you know, we'll build a fire. It's gonna be fine. And I was just like, you guys are the worst parents in the world.
And the kid is like is shivering
Yeah.
level of fear, like
Fear, freezing, all of it. Just
freezing. And the mom is
spider
like, no,
monkeyed around his mom. Yeah, it's
right,
fine.
exactly. And the mom is like, no, everything's fine. There's nobody in the basement. Everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, Night of the Living Dead style, the fucking
Yeah.
townspeople come pouring through,
Yeah.
and they say, welcome to Potter's Bluff, and scene.
Yeah, just it, yeah, it was a very great analogy of Night of the Living Dead, because it's absolutely what it was. You just see him kind of like circling the windows
And
and
then
just
boom.
yeah. And Dad's like, oh, this is, I think we could spend the night here. And I was like, whose house are you? What do you think you can stay here?
I know. It's like they're just like professional New England squatters. Like they've come from
Yeah,
another. If they're
it's fine.
It's totally fine. It's 1981. People did this type of stuff.
Yeah, I
We were
wouldn't let my dog sleep in that fucking house.
right. We were apparently we were down to fuck on a beach, a random photographer, and we were just squatting in random New England homes.
Yeah, it's
Great.
fine. We just hit somebody with
Absolutely.
our car. This is what we do. We now break and enter.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly the thought I had when I was watching. I was like, is this a B&E?
Not
Because
done yet.
I did not get
Listen.
it that was their rental home, maybe,
Right.
or a hotel. No. It's very, it almost looks like there's a scene missing.
There could be a scene missing.
Or
It is
two.
almost reminiscent of like one of the, Texas Chainsaw Massacre type houses where like the furniture is not right, everything's covered in dirt and dust, and it like, yeah, never
Absolutely.
there I even the shitty parents on TikTok that just like exploit their kids for views and everything, they are not going to let their children stay in this house for a night. It floored me.
So meanwhile, back at the house, the sheriff is looking for his bullets. And it's really funny because he, you know, she's like, what are you looking for? And he goes, bullets, Janet, bullets.
Yeah. I'm looking for my shells.
My
Did you go to the
shell.
beach?
Did you go to
Bullets,
the beach?
Janet.
I was like,
Bullets. And she's just polishing silver.
nope, she's just polishing silver. So he says,
No, he comes across her witchcraft book and walks in and goes like, what, are you practicing with the dark arts now? And she's just like, I'm gonna teach my students about witchcraft. These are like 7, 8-year-olds. Well, I gotta keep them entertained and excited. And what better than witchcraft? And he's just got like this scepter, spear, and a book of witchcraft. And she just keeps polishing silver and is just like, oh, and I found your bullets. They were in the cabinet, and toss lobs them over. And
And I
it's just
said,
like,
yeah. And I said, well, she's a wee bit defensive. And Slink's like, well, he did just accuse her of being a witch.
yeah.
Like, okay, sure. You know, because he had seen it. So he was not about to reveal anything. He was just like, yep. So next thing we see is a man driving a truck and he picks up a hitchhiking girl.
Chance.
Chance, yes, Chance,
Never
and
had a chance, and why
never.
she got in that truck, I'll
Oh
never
man,
understand.
yeah, I was gonna say this is 81. This is post Hillside Stranglers, I think. So that you know, we learned our lesson, didn't we?
I like the whole thing as she was just like, hi, my name's Chance. One, I'm in an old beat up pickup truck with the back windshield shot out. Yeah, I'm not gonna get in. Two, I need to make a stop at my house first. Absolutely fucking not. Like, at no point am I getting in this truck for any reason, but Chance does. And like, no part of your intuition said this could be dangerous. And I just go, Chance took a
Yeah, no,
chance.
no sense of self-preservation
Nope, self-preservation of a fart. That's
at all.
Chance.
She does not have it. And then she, so he says, yes, come with me to Potter's Bluff. And she's like, all right. So she gets in the car.
Sure.
And then they pull over, and once again, the
Angry
cavalcade,
mob, yeah.
angry mob, you know,
They just seem
jumps.
to know what the other one is doing in a very hive mind-esque, because I was just
Oh,
like, well,
very
he
hive
just
minded.
picked
Yes.
her up 13 seconds ago. How do they know to attack her? She doesn't exist yet, but it seems like, again, hive mind mentality. And then there's also, as soon as like an Outlander, to use Children of the Corn, like crosses into Potter's Bluff, like they are all like all of their antennas go like
Yeah, they pretty much exactly like they know, they zero in on it, and they beat her to death with a rock.
They beat her to death with a rock, smash her face in.
Oh, it's rough. Yeah,
It
absolutely rough. Yeah. So they bring her in, and Dobbs is like, "Oh my God, so young, so
So
beautiful."
beautiful. And this is probably one of my favorite scenes.
Oh, this is the scene that a lot of people, this is kind of where, you know, Stan Winston became Stan Winston, is that this facial reconstruction scene that they did with his with Stan Winston's hands, not Grandpa Joe's, but Stan Winston's hands, it is amazing to watch. It is
Yeah.
an absolute, you know, master class in latex. And oh, the eyeball, you know,
The
like he puts the
eyeballs.
eyeball. Yeah.
And now it makes sense why Dobbs has like the weird gloves while he works. Because I was fascinated, and it's because it's somebody else's hands, and the hands wouldn't like make sense of just like, why do you have the hands of a 20-year-old and you're 8 years old?
Yeah,
But
exactly.
I like without knowing that, I was just like, those gloves are fascinating to me because they look almost like collagen. They it looks like he is wrapped in a face mask with his hands, where like they are soft and supple. And I was totally enthralled with these fucking gloves. But yeah, I mean, this reconstruction, I mean, holds up today in 2026. It is
Oh, amazing.
brilliant.
Just amazing. So he's yeah, so yeah, he reconstructs her, and then we see somebody come in and do something. We don't know what it is, but all of a sudden she sits up like nothing happened.
Yeah, sits, and then she like looks almost like shocked when she sees the person in the room with her. Like she turns around on, you know, the gurney exam table, whatever, and like looks at the figure, and there's like a shock in her eyes. And then end scene.
And scene. And then the doctor that sheriff's been working with, he basically figures it out. He's doing a tissue test, and he's like, oh, that's kind of odd. And then he's like, okay. As soon as he figures it out, angry mob comes in and just sticks embalming fluid in him, like, or
Horrible. Yeah,
acid.
acid. So yeah, there's some sort of acid explosion. Could be embalming fluid, but we're not. Yeah, we don't know. But they kill him.
Destroys him, like
Yeah.
just destroys him from the inside out. Amazing scene. And then sheriff is like, he's in his office, and his secretary calls, and she's like, yeah, I'm late. He's like, yeah, I know you're late, you know,
Yeah.
again,
Oh,
right?
Betty.
And Betty says, did you get the telex from St. Louis? And I'm like, okay, I didn't look this up. It okay, fact checker Frankie, man, you're gonna have your fucking work cut out for you on this episode. I is it like a fax?
Yeah, it's the original fax. It's a telefax, telephone, and fax machine. So it's like a telegram that you get, like it's similar to what we would consider like an email or a fax. Yeah.
Okay. And she says, yeah, did you get the telex? It's on your desk. And he's like, it's on my desk. Like,
Yeah, no, men don't look for anything ever.
Oh
Doesn't matter if it's
my.
your boss, your husband, your kid. Men don't
Oh.
have eyes.
So he's reading the telex later on, and it says specifically, Dobbs made unauthorized use of dead bodies in a county morgue November 30th, 1969, was dismissed from his job. So that means that our mortician is definitely in on whatever tomfoolery is going on in this town. So meanwhile, kind of an aside, but a very big important plot point is that his wife has been trying to get him to develop film. She's given him this roll of film and she's saying, please go down to, Golden Triangle or wherever and get this film developed because it's for one of my
A student's
students'
project. Yeah.
projects. Yeah. So he finally gets the film developed, takes it down, and he's watching it. We are treated to what could only be described as a witch sex snuff film.
Yeah, it's Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, where, yeah, exactly. Except without all the old people fornicating. But
But they're watching.
they're watching and they're enjoying it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about the like Blair Witch black and whiteness of this scene that makes
Yeah.
it almost more unnerving.
Yeah.
And essentially, it's that there is a woman and a man making love while the horde watches, and she grabs the dagger that we saw in his wife's drawer
Underwear drawer.
and stabs this man in the back, and then the man obviously rolls off, and she's just sitting there smiling, and it's his wife, Janet. And he's horrified. He's like, oh my God, and
Damn it,
then,
Janet.
damn it, Janet, indeed. So then our friendly mortician, Dobbs, shows up and plays exposition fairy and says, this is the situation. Like, these people are, they get destroyed, but then I bring them life. I make them pretty again. I make them beautiful again. And now what's great is they don't get sick. All they have to do is come visit me for a touch up. Very Death Becomes Her.
Yeah, very, they don't get sick, they get to keep living, they're all happy, and they're all kind of like my minions. I'm the puppeteer, and
Yeah.
your wife Janet needed the least amount of work. She's my best work.
She's my best work. And the interesting thing is that he asks him, well, how did you do it? And he said, that's a secret I'm taking with me to my grave.
Yeah. There is no answer. I'm going to reveal all of my cards.
No cards on the table with with Dobbs at all. So then he follow, you know, he shoots Janet because sorry, Sheriff Dan shoots Janet. And she kind of stands there, and he's
Yep.
crying because he's like, oh no, my wife, my wife, my wife, and follows her outside, and she starts putting dirt over her, and she's like, please just bury me, just bury
Yeah.
me, just bury me, just bury me. So he buries her, then crazy, crazy snuff witch fuck group shows up to pay their respects.
Yeah, they all show up with their flowers, and you just see like the whole town walking up, and it's just like the flash shots of every person that they were throughout the movie, of the innkeeper and the diner waitress and the
And the
gas station
doctor.
attendant and the doctor and just the guy who was driving by and said, "Have a good day, Sheriff." Like just all the
Everybody.
different flashes, and Sheriff is just like laying over his dead buried wife in just absolute terror of like, what the fuck is this? It's the whole town.
Right. And then so then he breaks free, goes back inside, and he has done kind of he'd already did he shot did he shoot Dobbs? He has.
Yeah, he shot Dobbs.
He shot Dobbs, and Dobbs actually decided he was like, fuck it. He's like, I'm gonna do some work on myself here. So it leads me to believe that Dobbs has already been dead for a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he mentions that during the exposition ferry. He's like,
Okay.
you know, you could shoot me, but I won't die,
But I won't
just like
die.
everybody
Yeah.
else. Yeah.
So he says one more thing. And he says, you gotta watch the, gotta watch the end of the movie. So he watches the end of the movie and he realizes that the person who was stabbed in the sex fest was him. And the sheriff has been dead the whole time. And he looks at his
Makes sense.
fingers. Yeah, he looks at his fingers and they start to crumble and he goes, I could fix that for you.
I can fix that for
Credits.
you.
Credits. Yeah. So Dead and Buried 1981. You guys can watch it on Tubi. It's a little clunky. Like we have to admit, 1981, there are definitely some clunky parts in the film. Does it make sense? Really? Is it probably an allegory for control and getting old and wanting to preserve your youth and also tourist culture, right?
Before we, hated tourists and Jaws, we hated tourists for
Yeah, right.
clogging up the roadways.
It's exactly. Like, get off my lawn. And this was chosen for us as a buy me a coffee. From the lovely David Joshua. Now, David Joshua,
This was a DJ film.
this was, and I texted him last night. I sent him a picture of the poster, and he said, "Oh, I love this film." And I said, "Monday," and he said, "Oh, you're doing my Buy Me a Coffee." I was like, "Yep, we're finally getting around to it."
Sorry, David Joshua, we got a little sidetracked.
We got a
Oh
little. We did. We got a little sidetracked, but yes, I really liked this. I liked this.
no, I
I
loved this.
Yeah,
I
no.
thought this was fun and enjoyable. The special effects are amazing, like
Yep.
next level, top tier, even in 2026. I thought Dobbs was absolutely unnerving and just endearing in this weird way,
I did. I was like, I would want him to play my crazy old uncle or something,
Absolutely. I understand now why we took him to the chocolate factory. Maybe I have a different, maybe I need to rewatch this and go, maybe Grandpa Joe isn't the villain. Because I really thought in this movie that the villain, even though Dobbs was the mortician and making zombie people to take care for his town, my issue was with the sheriff. That's who I didn't like.
Ah, that's interesting.
I thought he was too old for his way too young wife, so I needed to know how long that they've been married, when did they get together, how did they get to this town? Like, why do you think everybody's committing murders when the rest of the town seems to think that, like these are just like natural accidents?
Okay.
And, then at the end when it was just like, you've been the caretaker the whole time.
Yep.
I was just like, so then why did he start invent? I guess because he's a cop and he has cop brain, but you're a zombie cop brain. So there are still questions that I have, but I do like how it was tied up. I just don't like that you kind of look a little pedophilic because your wife is too young for how long you guys could have been together. Unless you guys got together 6 months ago, then it's totally fine.
Right. I and there is no, you're right. There is no timetable that is explained about that. So
Nope. When did this happen? When did they get together? Who moved here? Nope. We are just Midsommar cult.
yeah.
We
Like
are the best part of Rosemary's Baby, which is the
right.
orgy, and
Yeah.
we are the best part of The Wicker Man. We're the best part of Midsommar. So,
Yeah.
like,
Yeah. And
congrats on this movie. I it's a
absolutely.
fucking masterpiece.
It's like if Focar got if Focar went snuff, yeah, snuff and Focar put it together to the chocolate to the peanut butter. So this was a Buy Me a Coffee and Hillary, what is Buy Me a Coffee?
Buy Me a Coffee is a way for our fans to help support us keep the lights on. BuyMeACoffee.com is a website you can go to and search Manic Movie Monday. And if you buy five coffees, Aaron and I will do a movie of your choosing, in our manic style, where Aaron is going to fact check and deep dive. I'm going to come with my thoughts and opinions, and Aaron is going to ask me, did you recognize this person? So if there is a movie that you think will star somebody I will recognize right off
Ooh,
rip,
right.
that could be a fun game for 2026. Of course, Hillary's going to recognize this young version of whomever. Let's put it in. I'm not going to, and you will lose your bet.
Endearingly so.
Endearingly so. So yes, buymeacoffee.com, Manic Movie Monday, and for five coffees, we will do a movie of your choosing in our manic style.
Love it. Absolutely. And yes, it definitely helps us keep the lights on. Hillary is in South Carolina. I am in Florida. It helps us pay for Zoom. It helps us pay for our editing equipment. It's really, really, really helpful. So, yeah. So you chose this one. I am saying because next weekend is Valentine's Day, I would like to choose a movie that you actually will recognize the actors in.
Challenge accepted.
And that is Valley Girl.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I do know who Nicolas Cage is. That's
Yeah, there
fair.
it is. Yeah, you got
Yeah.
that. So,
Yep.
Valley Girl, if anybody who is listening to this episode on Monday would like to, follow along with us, as it were, you can watch Valley Girl for free on Tubi
Shout out Tubi.
while supplies still last, because,
Tubi.
Tubi likes to yank shit without telling you.
Yep.
So definitely, if you guys get a chance, check out Dead and Buried 1981 on Tubi right now. And next week, we are going to do Valley Girl. And we want to give a special shout out and a thanks to David Joshua, to Fact Checker Frankie, to Jennifer, to all of the people that do support the show,
Yeah.
Jamie, all the people who do support the show. Both financially, emotionally, and who share, we have a lot of people who share it in like a story on Instagram.
The
If you
people who
want,
comment on Spotify, I love you
ooh,
guys.
yeah,
I
we love
the Spotify
you're the
comments.
MVPs. Yeah,
Yeah.
if you comment something for us on Spotify, first of all, Hillary will respond.
Yeah. Yes, I
And
will.
if you want to follow us on Instagram, you can do so on Manic Movie Monday podcast. That is our only social media for now. So yeah, check that out and keep it with us till Valentine's Day. And as always,
Stay.
stay good. Hold on. How do I do this? And nope, that's not how I do it. Okay, hold on. Stop.